Ukraine crisis, Chernobyl, the catastrophe of Chernobyl from the 20th century remains with us in the 21st century. The news reports are plentiful, but no clarity yet. The Washington Post reads, Russian troops have withdrawn from Chernobyl, Ukraine agency says. First graph. No Russian troops were near the Chernobyl nuclear power plant site early these last hours, Friday, the 1st of April. Ukraine's state agency on exclusion zone management said, following reports a day earlier, that the site has been handed back to Ukrainian personnel. I pause there because without clarity, we now move into the zone of what is possible. In the exclusion zone, anything is possible. So I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the director, the guru of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Most recently, Henry and I discussed what can go wrong and why when it's a natural catastrophe near a nuclear energy plant, Fukushima. What can go wrong and why with an event that leads to firefighting near a nuclear energy plant, Chernobyl. What can go wrong and why? And fill in the blanks with war fighting near a nuclear energy plant. Well, it's happened, and now we're into chapter two. The Russians are said to have withdrawn. Henry, a very good evening to you. All worst-case scenarios comes down to the examples we have in front of us, and this Ukrainian announcement is to be welcomed if accurate. However, the Ukrainian officials also go on to claim, assert, report, that the Russian troops, when holding hostage the crew for several weeks to keep the plants going and to keep the water cooling, the nuclear core, they report that the Russian troops, quote, looted and destroyed a specialist laboratory that contained highly active samples and samples of radionuclides that are now in the hands of the enemy. Puzzle, puzzle, puzzle. What does this tell you, Henry? I understand. I haven't got confirmation here. What does this tell you about what are the risks here of nuclear energy plants in a war zone? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The risks are quite great and, as you point out, quite uncertain. I mean, one of the key worries that, for example, the International Atomic Energy Agency has is that the monitoring equipment that would give us some idea of what real dangers there are associated with all those reports is not working. One of the things about war is you can turn off signals that normally would operate during peacetime. And so our knowledge about what's going on there is dependent on the Ukrainians telling us or, you know, the Russians telling us. And so it's not ideal.
Not ideal, but are these things in consideration for new nuclear energy plants? So for the ones that are already established, for example, you've educated me to understand there are proposals to build nuclear energy plants all through Eastern Europe and other parts of the world that are potential battle zones. Is this part of the assessment beforehand that Russian troops could be occupying and looting labs?
I have to say I doubt it. And the reason I doubt it is from my conversations with people, you know, in the government. There seems to be, two organizing principles at play right now when it comes to nuclear energy. And nuclear weapons, I guess. You know, one is global warming is the top concern, and we have to do everything we can, including things that, you know, might not be totally economically attractive, including nuclear energy, because it's carbon-free, and we need to export it. And then the energy security now is an issue because of oil and gas that Russians have been exporting to Europe. So there's a big push to promote the export of U.S. reactors to Central Europe as well as other places in the world. The other organizing principle is kind of at odds with that, and that is, well, the Russians may go further than Ukraine. We need to fortify NATO, including the places where we want to build reactors, because they might invade. Now, if they invade, they might do what they did in Ukraine, and you got to wonder, wait a minute, how safe or how invulnerable are the nuclear power plants that we would build in places like Poland or Romania? And the short answer is probably not enough. And it isn't as though anyone's describing what we're going to do differently than just build plants like the kind the Ukraine currently operates. So inquiring minds ought to be curious about which narrative is controlling and what we are going to do.
We have a publication you've acquainted me with, Nuclear Newswire, and an article within these last days, Wars Are Dangerous, Reactors Much Less So. This is prior to this announcement that Russian troops looted a lab, and there's also news that perhaps some Russian troops have been taken to medical facilities because of fear of radiation poisoning. It's all varied fog of war. So I read this from the Nuclear Newswire. Nuclear plants keep a minimum of several days of diesel fuel on hand to power their emergency equipment, and they still need staff on site. It is the best interest of those who control the nuclear plant site, be they Ukrainians and Russians, to meet those needs. None of that, from the reporting, Henry, existed. There was grave concern that the staff was exhausted but was being kept hostage. And clearly these Russian troops were not educated. And the question of having enough diesel fuel, we don't even know those facts, Henry. In other words, this is best case scenario. And what we've seen is that the Russians are tearing apart a nuclear age society and are indifferent to the risks.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. The problem is that people look at these news reports and have, an immensely different set of views depending on, what they want to do. Those that want to promote nuclear power don't see much of a problem. Those that worry about national security, including, believe it or not, the Belarusians who put missile defense units at their reactors, or the Japanese who are currently debating doing the same, see things differently. And I think what's unfortunate is we haven't forced these two groups or views to converse with one another. And so we end up sort of going, well, maybe the optimists are right. Maybe we don't have to do anything or don't need to do very much. My hunch is these reactors are now on the list of modern day targeting, and that the future wars of the world are going to make these things part of the target list, and that we need to start taking this much more seriously than we have.
Will we get clarity when the IAEA reaches Chernobyl and does the inspection? Are they equipped to handle a former war zone? We have about 30 seconds, Henry.
I think they can tell us what the radiation levels are. I think they have done poorly in scolding and disciplining a member, which is Russia, of the IAEA. They are still actively going to the meetings. I don't think they have grasped that that has to be addressed, and I don't think they have addressed in any serious way what the military vulnerabilities are. And so they have their work cut out for them if they're to be taken seriously.
Fog of war descends on Chernobyl, a catastrophe of the 20th century remaining vulnerable in the 21st. Henry Sikorski is the director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Bashlow.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.